I'm going to, believe it or not, I have seven more sets of notes to scroll through more. I really do, but I'm going to only give you one more. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about vision building and some of the art of it, and I'm going to skip quite a bit because of time, but I want to just touch on some essential things. I already touched on church leadership, so I won't go there, but I do want to say church leadership is not a lone wolf type of thing. You can't be a lone wolf and be in a leadership team, all right? There must be a mindset of, in each leader that the greater good of the body always comes first. And I remember as pastoring, people would get upset with me because I would do something. And my response to them was, I hear you and I understand it and I appreciate your opinion, but for the good of the body, we need to do this. In other words, for the individual good, it would be better if I did this, but for the good of the body whole, then I have to do this. Do you understand what I'm saying there? So as a leader, even though an individual decision might be beneficial, okay, it's the benefit of the whole body that must prevail, okay? Team leadership is not for the lone wolf or self-centered individuals and their personal agendas. Team leadership is not to build your ministry. Your ministry will be built within the team leadership, but your leadership is not to build your individual ministry. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so, you know, when I went to Pastor DeCarmel, God told me in that little scenario, you learn his heart and plant everything in his garden, even your own seed in his garden. You take care of his garden, and I'll take care of yours. And when it came time for Pastor Kerry and I to pastor a church, God gave me a vision. He says he went down, and he dug up the root ball of the tree of our ministry we planted in my pastor's garden. And he simply took that root ball and that tree, and he planted it in the farm in the valley. And because of the maturity of the tree, of serving those years of another man's ministry, another man's vision, that was already poised to succeed at the planting it on new ground. This is very important because of the fact that self-centered people, all right, will lead a leadership team to astray. All right. Now, I'm not saying you're not important, and I'm not saying what you want is not important, but you got to have a for the good of the body mentality if you're going to be part of a leadership team. Okay. Ephesians 4:16 says, "For whom the whole body, joint and knit together." By whatever joint, we already read it, but I'm going to read it again, joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in a body for the edifying of itself in love. So it comes into the team ministry. And when Pastor Karen and I were pastoring, we built teams. I had a leader over every ministry, but I surrounded that leader with a couple of people. So there was always the best we could with the people we had. There was always a team there. There wasn't one person. All right. So if I had a head of a ministry, the first thing I did is I got a head of the ministry. Then I assigned someone to assist them. Might have been a rookie. Might have been a newbie. Okay. The newbie wasn't running the men's ministry. The leader was, but the newbie was being brought up in leadership. You understand what I'm saying? So a team defined, I'm going to go to it in a great deal, but it's a group of individuals working together, one heart and one mind, to achieve a common goal, objective, and vision. One preferring one another, combining talents, skills, and giftings to generate synergy through the coordination effort, which allows it to operate as one body. So a team does not operate as a bunch of individuals. You coordinate it to operate as one body, one heart, one mind. Okay? Once you do that, then you establish a force that the devil can't stop. You got to understand this principle. Okay, that's why when I promote someone in leadership, I make sure they're spiritually right. And I sit down with that person, and I used to say to them, you do realize I'm pulling you out of the pack. I said, what do you mean? I said, I'm pulling you out of the pack, so you need to have your life ready because you're not going to have a whole bunch of people around you protecting you because you're now leading the pack. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay. So you got to understand, a leadership team, the devil has a problem attacking the team. It might attack members of that leadership team, like, you hurt me yesterday, or you said something wrong. That's the enemy trying to break up the oneness of the leadership team. Okay, it doesn't take much, all right? And so we must understand that working together as one, you maximize your strengths and minimize your weaknesses, all right? So if I have a team member who is weak, I'm going to cover them with another team member's strength until that weak team member can get enough confidence to walk in strength. And then I'm looking for that team member, once they gain their strength, to look for another weak person within the team. Shore them up with that. So now you have strength shoring strength, maximum going with maximum, and you're minimizing the minors and that's trivial stuff. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 and 20 says, but now God has set the members, each of them, say each of them, in the body just as he pleased. God places each of them in a body as he pleased. Okay. We didn't get that done. As he pleased. Okay. As he pleased. As God pleased. Okay, we got that. All right, if they were all one member, where would the body be? If everybody had the same skills, same giftings, where would we be? But we as a body got to start recognizing. I give this example, and it works all the time, okay? When I was pastoring, how many people love nursery? Okay, all right. Well, God places nursery workers. So let me give you an example, okay, of what I say. Okay, here is a person, male or female, because it's not just ordained for women. Nursery can be for anybody, as long as they love the Lord and the Spirit. All right, are you with me? And so here is this person holding this baby, probably puked all over the place or pooped in his pants, smelling up the whole nursery. And here is this person holding this child. And instead of getting upset, starts praying. And starts putting a seed of hope in this child. Baby, wah! Doesn't understand what's going on. Nursery worker, placed by God, in the nursery, starts saying things like, God's got a plan for you. You're going to preach the gospel someday. You're holy and righteous, separated unto God. And then 20 to 30 years later, the child grows up, mighty man of God or woman of God, speaking and preaching to thousands. Who birthed that minister? Who birthed that person that's preaching now 20, 30 years ago? Was it the nursery worker who spoke a prophetic word in that child's spirit, that God's word never returns void? Are you hearing me? Now here's the irony of the whole thing. When that preacher goes to heaven and all the accolades of what he did or she did, who's along there with her, with him? The nursery worker, who is due double honor because it was a hidden ministry. Nobody knows what was going on. But God knew. And God knows that that man wants thousands of people to the Lord because that nursery worker got above her flesh or his flesh, spoke a word, and the word was made whole and flourished. Are you with me? So if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, one body. My point is, you as a leadership team are one. If you don't see yourself that, you need to get a new vision. You're one. Okay? The labor is too important when souls are in balance. Have we ever, as a leadership team, taken on a responsibility? My God, I'm dealing with a soul. Well, just leave the church if you don't like it here. What are we doing? That's a soul. And if that soul got a taste of the Spirit, and the church didn't nourish that soul right and send it back out there in the world, who is now spiritually attuned to the Spirit, guess what that soul is open for now? For the enemy to come in and ruin their life because they've been indoctrinated into the spirit world. Are you with me? Spiritual leadership is a team, is not a team sport. Amen. In a post-enlightenment society, still deeply affected by individualism, the biblical model of plurality in leadership is desperately needed, and a corrective action and powerful redemption of grace is needed. Now, what do I mean by plural leadership? I'm not talking about multiple pastors. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a leadership team. He cannot run this church by himself. If you take a look at a body, what is the most important part of your body? Outside, of course, your head, your brain, all that. But what holds your body together? It's your shoulders. The neck and the shoulders, if you look at your body, unless we don't become disciplined and, you know, gain a lot, well, anyway, become heavy in the middle area. But mostly, if our body, if you look at our body, it is shaped in the mannerism of the structure of our shoulders. And so the body of Christ, the leadership body, is the shoulders and the neck of the church. It's everything to the church. And it's got to be one. It's got to be a team. Got to work together. Team leadership does not mean that there is no chief amongst equals. There's always a leader. Always a leader. If you don't have a leader, you're in trouble. Now, if you don't have a leader, a leader will emerge. And if a leader emerges without assignment and authority, then that leader oftentimes splits churches. Do you understand what I'm saying? Be important. We always have to have an equal amongst, a chief amongst equals. It's both, it's very, very good, and let me back up here. Team leadership must have a leader within it, chief amongst equals. There must be a senior that functions among all of us. All right? I still have, by the way, after 40 years, I think it's something like that, I still have the same pastor. Still have the same pastor. Because there's a connection there. And leaders must understand that. So where does a leadership team start? I'm going to give you a quick three things and then we'll close. Leadership team has a vision or a picture or an image, and that vision comes from three sources. This is why a lot of visions in churches don't come to pass. And what you hear me now, this is very important. First of all, we talked about this earlier, Brother Rich, you have to have a picture. If I take a look at your church, take an artist and paint or take a picture of what you want to be. If you don't know, then put all your thoughts together and kind of draw a picture, an image. Where is this place going? What do we want to be? What do we want to look like? What would this place look like packed down, people standing out in the parking lot trying to get in? What would it look like? So there are three sources of image. The first source is God the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, through Holy Spirit and His Word. 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says this. This is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Verse 16. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. For He is above all things, and in Him all things consist. That He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He should have preeminence. So why did I read that scripture reference? Because the vision that you go forward with must be birthed in Christ. It must be birthed. Oh, what do you want, Holy Spirit? What do you want? Must be birthed in Jesus. Must further the kingdom, not this church. Please hear me. Those are fighting words. Division must be to further the kingdom. Jesus Christ came here not to bless us. He came here not to take care of us. He came here, please listen, go read your Bible. He came here to bring the kingdom of God. That's what he came here for. The Bible says, go out and preach what? The kingdom. And so God is all about the kingdom. So any vision we have within that kingdom must come from the king. Understanding that the sovereignty of God settles any question, or I've already talked about that, settles any question of original source. God is a source. God as a source equals sovereignty. So if God tells you as a group of people to do something, it's done. They have to understand something. In heaven, when God gives an instruction, time does not exist. Now, I want to say this to you. It's very important. Some of you have been around this church for a long time. And how many years ago have you received prophecy? 10 years ago? 15 years ago? 5 years ago? About how great this church is going to be. And you've had leaders leave this church because it's not happening. Okay? Because we do not realize that time does not exist in heaven. Time is given to you and I to manage us. To manage us. When God spoke a prophetic word over this church 10 years ago, it's done. Oh, I don't see it. Because you're measuring it in time. In heaven, there is no time. So when God speaks to you, it's done. It's finished. We just need to walk in it now. Are you with me on that? Okay, I don't have time to go through all the scripture on that, but it's important. The second source is the God of this world. Second source of vision, God of this world. He is his established atmosphere, environment, and culture. The God of this world will give you a vision faster than anything that is around. You want a vision? I'll tell you what you're going to look like. And outside forces will come in to shape you into that vision. That's why anybody that's a born-again Christian spirit-filled is run by external forces. You are open for the vision of Satan in your life. That's strong. Because the devil has come to kill and to destroy and to ruin you and to stop any unity. Are you with me? That's why we have problems in the church. Okay? They don't have a defined place of who they are and where they're going, which comes from the sovereign God, the Father of Jesus Christ, who in all things are created, in all things have preeminence. So any vision I make for this church has to have the preeminence in Christ. Are you following me? The enemy wants to establish an atmosphere and an environment that's contrary to this church moving forward. He'll even send newbies in here or older people who've been around the church for a while to see discord. Yeah, he will. That's why the Bible says, beware of sheep in wolf's clothing. Get your sniffers out. You understand what I'm saying? You got to understand that the enemy will send in people who look brilliant but aren't of him. They are carrying a vision. And if your vision is not in Christ, you're open for another vision. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. Hello? Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And so anything the devil's going to come in, he's going to come in and blind the church more than he is opening their eyes to spirituality and what God wants. Create a little conflict amongst you. Let's get a little division in the leadership team. Let's get them a little odd against each other, okay? Oh, I have this vision. Well, I have that vision. Okay, well, I think we ought to do this. Well, I think we ought to do that. Okay, well, that's cool. But what's the team say? What's the vision of the oneness and the one accordness of the body of Christ? What's that say? Amen. I had a person one time come into our church, and they wanted to start a drug rehab thing. And Pastor Mark just went through the same thing on another subject matter. And so the guy said, here's what I want to do, drug rehab. And I said, it's really great, brother, but I said, it doesn't fit our vision. Oh, we need to have this. A lot of people are hurting. I said, I understand that, but it's not our vision. It's not who we are. Oh, you want to talk about irate? You don't care. I love people. Amen? I said, not our vision. It's not who we are. I'm not called to be a drug rehab center. However, I understand the problem, and that's why we support a drug rehab center in Hartford. So in essence, we do take care of people. But I wouldn't let that part of vision come into our vision, because it was a side road. It was a rabbit trail. It was something that old-time evangelist told Pastor Kerry and I in the preaching time. We got from him a long time ago. On the wings of a need often sits the devil. Wings of a need often sits the devil. Because needs come to get you off. I want to say don't take care of needs, but you cannot be driven by someone's need. You must be driven by what God's called you to be. Is that tough? It's the way it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 says, but the minds are blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away by Christ. People in the world, even the Old Testament, they don't understand the freedom of Christ. They can't give you a vision. Culture can't give you a vision. It's veiled. They're blind. If a leader or a leadership team does not have an understanding of the makeup of the atmosphere, environment, and culture from a heaven and godly perspective, then their image and picture or vision will be determined by the enemy. You heard the saying, blind leading the blind leads to one going in a ditch. If the enemy is the one that sets the tone, then it's not going to go anywhere. So you understand, first vision is from God in Christ, because Christ, everything is in creation is in the preeminence of Christ. Second one is the enemy. It comes in because he's blinded and dark. He will seek to give a vision contrary to what God has. Third one, from man and the focus of their lives, agenda, and self-centered agendas. This is the most dangerous one. Vision of a church oftentimes is set by someone who comes in and has an agenda and gets enough people around them to fulfill their agenda, and they've not even checked to see what the vision of the house is. And we want to please people. I don't lose anybody. So someone comes in here with an agenda, and it sounds good. Sounds real good. It could help build your church, brother. If you just do what I say, this church is going to explode. Who ordained him to do that? Are you with me? Because he's coming in focused on what he thinks ought to be in this church. You understand? That's why a collective vision from this body, leadership, is extremely important, because you're going to have people come in and say, this church ought to do this. Now, if a prophet comes in here and says, this church, first of all, should line up with the word of God, should line up with what your pastor's saying, should confirm what your pastor's saying, and if it doesn't confirm that, okay, then the pastor and the prophet and whoever else will sit aside and say, okay, is there a change in course, or is this just an off word? Are you with me? How many of you know there are off words? I remember one time we were in a big conference downstairs. It was a Brother White down in Delaware, Gary White. We had his church service, and someone came up and said, you prophesied to me 3 weeks ago, and such and such and such, and it didn't happen, and this happened. And Pastor Gary said, he says, what do you got to say about that? Pastor Gary says, I made a mistake. Sorry. Next. He owned it. End of subject. Do you all follow us? Truth. All right? And so we must come to understand that people will come focus on their lives, their agenda, and their self-centered agenda. There is what they want. This is what I want. Okay? This is what I think ought to happen. And they will get ingrained in the ministry. Even the biggest one we've had, well, I'm not glad because it's being taped. But anyways, we have people come and just get involved in ministry and really start to shine. You understand? Then all of a sudden, bam! This isn't according to what I wanted. You ought to be doing this. And picks up and walks out and devastates the church. Why? Because they got ingrained in the ministry. They became involved. People fell in love with them. People started witnessing with them and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, but they're there for an agenda of their own making. And when their agenda didn't happen, bam! They leave. Now they leave. But what's that leave the body? Wounded, hurt. Because a person with a personal agenda and self-centered vision got ingrained into the corporate vision. Are you with me? I don't have to go any further, right? All right. Romans 12, 3 and 5 says, "For this, though the grace is given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Amen? Each one of you have a measure of faith. You have enough faith to do this thing. You understand? No one's lacking faith here. God doesn't give a measure that lacks. God gives a measure that's not developed yet. "For as we have many members of one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many as one body in Christ, individually members are one another." Amen. And so I want to talk to you. When leadership has no vision, then there is no foundation to build on, and one is left to be shaped and formed by an outside forces, left to the force and influence of men, God of this age, and culture. Now listen to me. This is going to read you a statement. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Proverbs 29:18, New American Standard. What happens when there is no defined vision? Then that is a vision. Day by day, do what we got to do. I hope we make it. That's a vision. And next year, you'll be doing the same thing you did this time, hoping you're going to make it. But after a while, a church body, I want you, because this is important, keeps hoping on something that never is going to happen because nobody's doing it, falls into the category of the scripture says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. There's a heart in the church. And it's got to be a healthy heart. And so with no vision, there's no hope. When there is no vision, the people understand we just live day by day. I'll come to church when I feel like it. I won't. I won't be involved. If you have a project, I might show up. I might not. There's no passion. There's no desire. There's no commitment. There's no covenant. Why? Because we're just going day by day, hoping we can make it. Should we just survive for another year? And then we'll see what next year brings. The church, survival does not exist in the Bible. Only one who is a conqueror and an overcomer, that exists in the Bible. And I admonish each of you as we go forward to be able to grab a hold of the vision of God. Habakkuk 2, and you put this in your syllabus, I know in your notebook that you send us, I realize that this is your scripture, but I want to read it for everybody. Habakkuk 2:2 says this, and 3. "Then the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tablets, those that read it. For your vision is yet for an appointed time, But at the end, it will speak. It will not lie, or back up. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it shall surely come. It will not tarry. A vision will happen. Amen. Take a couple minutes, give you characteristics. When you make a vision, you have an image. You paint a picture. Okay? The image is creation of a picture in a person, either themselves or what's ahead of their project, is a reflection of the imitation of a representation or representative of another person. And so as you come together, you make a vision, you make a picture, it's representative of something. It is actually a picture of our image, amen, going forward that we must duplicate. So when we make a vision, then we want to duplicate that vision as we go forward. Are you hearing me? That's an image. Then comes the next step is identity. I have an image, now I have to identify with that image. You following me? Okay? Identity is the results of a created image that sets the motion in living in our inner being and what we see. Identity. You must identify with the vision. This leadership group, their identity must be in the church, yes, body of Christ, yes, but it also must be in this leadership group. The next segment is thinking. You have image, identity, forms and shapes one's thinking. Okay, thinking would be organized in thoughts in a pattern which would bring forth and make compatible the identity and the image. So your thinking would be towards what this would be. My thought process is, how do I accomplish my image? How do I accomplish this identity? How do I accomplish this vision? The next fact is focus. Okay, you have image with an image with a vision. You have identity with a vision, and you have, it creates a line of thinking in that vision. Are you following me? I'm going to think a certain way. It causes focus. When a person focuses on something, it sets your mind upon something, fixes your soul, and concentration and devotion to create what you are looking at. So you're focusing at your vision that you're identified with, amen, that you think about. Now you're going to focus on the accomplishment of that vision, which now creates habit. A habit is a disposition or condition of the mind, body, or soul formed by frequent repetition of the same action or a continued mindset which establishes a life pattern. People stop coming to church 3 weeks in a row, they're out of the habit of coming to church. Oh, I can just come to church once. No, you can't. Habit is very important. Habit is extremely important to fulfilling your vision. Because your people need to get in the habit of winning. You know, it's like President Trump says, winning, winning, winning. You're all going to get tired of winning. Winning, 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 winning. Well, he has something to say about that, regardless of your politics. Success breeds success. Winning brings winning. Victory brings victory. And so if your habit is walking in a situation of winning and being part of something that's moving forward, then that forms a lifestyle inside you that makes you a part of that. Which is my last one, is lifestyle. Lifestyle is habits, attitudes, tastes, moral standards, economic level, that together constitute a mode of living of an individual or a group. And so what do we have? We have a vision, which is an image, it's a picture, which creates identity. If you have a vision, a picture, then you need to identify with it. Are you following me? Which in turn creates a method of thinking about that picture, about their identity, and where are you going with it? What can I do with it? Then creates a focus. Your thinking makes you focus on something, and so you start focusing on what you want to do as a group, not the Patriots next weekend. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? And then your focus creates a habit. What is a habit? A habit will be taken care of the life of this house and nourishing it to go forward. It should be second nature to you. It shouldn't be a problem. It shouldn't be effort. It should be a habit. It should be the success of this church is a foregone conclusion because it's our habit to succeed. creates a quality of life. Amen? Is it all good? God is good. As leadership team, you have to have a full view of the vision, create an image, paint an image, and have the unity of oneness or each one's role in the overall picture, then committing oneself to do it. David said in 1 Samuel 17:29, "Is there not a cause?" What's your cause here? What do you stand for? Where are you going? I hope that you've gotten something out of this sharing today. It's been an honor and a blessing. I haven't done this in a long time. And I know that it's been many hours, but I do want to say to you, there is nothing impossible. Those aren't just words. With man, it is impossible. Leadership team, with God, all things are possible.